Canada's favorite overnight talk show continues with Peter Anthony Holder on CJAD 800 in Montreal and News Talk 1010 CFRB in Toronto.
And we are talking with George Burke, who is the author of The Bridge Never Crossed, A Survivor's Guide for Meaning, here on CJAD and CFRB. So when it was all told, as I mentioned, 89 days in ICU, another 18 months in the burn unit, what were the extent exactly of your injuries?
Total body surface burn was 65%. A little more than half my body was burned third degree, which means cell damage. Fingers of my left hand were burned completely to the bone. I suffered a broken nose, skull fracture. A retired Navy surgeon in 1994, before I moved back, my wife and I moved back to Arizona the second time, found two fused bones in my neck. My left shoulder still separated. I had four cracked ribs. Lumbar 1 and 2 were cracked. 3, 4, and 5 were severed. And I had a forced compressed fracture in my spine.
You said your shoulder is still separated?
Yes.
Wow. How much pain are you in?
Well, Peter, that's another good question. That's one of the questions some of my younger audiences have asked me over the years. When did the pain go away? And my response to them is, there's physical pain and emotional pain. I've learned to make physical pain my ally. I know it's there. Mental pain and guilt, in a form of guilt, etc., will kill you. I have been pain-free from essentially my neck up and my mid-chest down.
Why do you think, speaking of the guilt, why do you think you were the only one to survive?
Oh, boy. I still play with that. I don't know. I will find out eventually when I leave this life the second time, actually the third time. I've had two near-death experiences while I was in the ICU. I will find out. I think to soothe myself, I told myself over the years that it comes down to something as simple as where I was seated on the airplane. I didn't want to die. I had a plan. My instinct was to survive. I got out. If I had sat there, I would have been burned to death. So I don't think there's one specific response or answer that I can come up with, other than where I was seated on an airplane. I got out. I proceeded to leave the airplane as best as I possibly could. That gets into my military training, my athletic training, my will to survive.
What was the cause of the crash?
Two things, as I found out over the years. I found out I'm still being given gifts. It was the pilot's direct window vision casting that had what they call rust or porosity pockets. But the primary cause of the aircraft was the pressure system on the airplane had previous problems with it. The airplane had never been completely fixed correctly. And I received a call from a lieutenant colonel, retired Air Force, lives down here in Sierra Vista, Arizona, just an hour and a half southeast of Tucson, that I knew him in Vietnam, and I had his job before I went to Hamilton, which I didn't know until 3 years ago, December, Christmas Eve. He called me and told me that same airplane, about a year and a half or so before it crashed, before we had the accident, he had my job at Hamilton as a lieutenant colonel, and they were coming back from somewhere in the Dakotas, Grand Forks, Minot, and they declared an en route emergency and landed at Pete Field in Denver. And fixed the airplane, and the next morning they as best they could, went back to Hamilton and walked into our same boss, who was an Air Force colonel, flying as co-pilot, ironically, that morning, about a year later, and basically said, if you don't fix this airplane, I'm not flying it anymore.
Tell me, do you have a fear of flying?
No, sir, I don't. There's been a couple of close calls in airplanes when I've been flying, but no, I only sit on the certain seats in an airplane. Essentially, in coach, first row, and bulkhead, where I get upgraded, aisle window middle. That's a physiological issue. I have to be able to get up and move around. because my legs go numb. I have a plan. I know the exits. I read the placards. I watch the videos. But no, I don't have a fear, because I know that in order for me to continue with my life and live my life as full as I possibly can, and was going to be able to, that I had to identify the fears. And then once you identify the fear, like problem solution, what is the fear? Then you set about correcting that fear and overcoming it.
We have just about a minute, but I want to ask you this question. What goes through your mind when you think of, well, for instance, what happened when that plane landed in the Hudson just a couple of weeks ago? When you hear stories like that,
I chuckle. It's a water landing versus a crash.
Right.
That pilot did one hell of a great job putting that bird down. I have flashbacks. I still have dreams every so often. I don't know what triggers them, but I have dreams of being in a plane and it crashes. I know they happen. I know they're going to happen. I'm prepared for them, and I move on. I just steel myself and realize that life is for the living. And that's what I've tried to do. I've tried to live my life in a way that honors my friends in the airplane, my doctors, my family, the nurses, everyone that's had a role in my life. I've met a lot of wonderful people, and the good Lord has truly, truly blessed me. So.
It's an amazing story. The book is called The Bridge Never Crossed, A Survivor's Guide for Meaning. It's written by George Burke, who has certainly been through a lot more than most people. You can check out his website, www.georgeburke.com. That's Burke without an E, B-U-R-K. You can also go to my website, peteranthonyholder.com. Click on the What's On page, and you'll find links that'll take you to George's site and also Amazon.com and Amazon.ca, where you can order his book directly. I thank you very much for being on the program with us, sir.
Peter, thank you very much, and my very best wishes to you, your family, and the audience.
This is Montreal's News Talk leader, CJAD 800 and News Talk 1010, CFRB Toronto.